KoshCast may be late like your annoying friend who you instantly forgive once they show up, but this weekend we all welcomed the Premier League back like a dog welcomes its owner back from war. There's Chelsea-Swansea as Courtois gets caught out, Man United versus Spurs where Kyle walkers the ball into his own net, and Arsenal suffer a Kouyaté kick to the stomach as they get beaten by West Ham. Bilic certainly gave them a good deal. There's the rest of the Premier League action to talk about, some news from Italy, or more accurately China, and where would we be without Moomoo of the Week and our Toronto FC update? Let's get this ball rolling like Snoop Dogg in the green room. Welcome to the KoshCast on underthekoshblog.com. The new Premier League season is here. My name is Alex and I am here. This bloke's name is Mohanid and you are here.
Yes, I am here, and I am glad the Premier League is here, more importantly.
Yes, it's the most important thing. I mean, the world would live if we weren't here, but the Premier League
exactly.
Is vital.
That's true.
Two people that aren't here.
Mm-hmm.
One is Bernie. See? And
I was like, what?
And the other is Roche. I'm not going to give him a moment's silence, because the joke's already been used. But they were so excited about the Premier League being back that they have sent us some recordings from all over the world, wherever the hell those guys are right now,
because
they just couldn't let this week go by without saying hi.
So I can't blame them, to be honest.
No, I'd do the same.
All right,
let's go to them first.
Okay.
I cannot believe this. I am so, so, so happy right now. Arsenal, what happened? I'm at the Toronto Pearson International Airport on my way to Charlotte, thinking it's going to be a routine victory for the Gunners, and then what happens? Peter Cech, the guy that I begged Arsen to sign, not because I give a crap about Arsenal, but because it made sense and you want a more competitive league. What is he doing? He's still working for Chelsea, clearly, because the mistakes that he made were unbelievable. Arsen, did you check the expiry date on Petter before making this purchase? No. This is great. I'm teasing my dad right now and it's unbelievable. Oh. This looks like my plane, so I'm going to go, but I can't wait for Liverpool, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Hello, everyone. Just chiming in from the middle of BC on a golf course. Just wanted to check in with the results of this opening weekend of the Premiership. So, Chelsea. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. Let's move on to Arsenal. Oh my God. How about United? Except that United laugh was more of a positive laugh because they got the most unexpected laugh on the weekend. What do you think, George?
I think you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
So you should know their voices by now, but in case you don't, that first clip was Bernie and the second clip was Roche. Who George was, I have no idea whatsoever.
I did not expect that at the end.
But, you know, cheers, George.
Yeah, thanks for that.
I hope that round of golf went well.
let's get right into it. We've had, 10 games this weekend?
Yeah.
We're going to go in random order. Let's just start with, every game is as important. AFC Bournemouth are top of the table.
Exactly.
Right, so. West Brom losing to City 3-0. City away, I don't know if you, as a fan, would you prefer to play your first game at home or away? I think home would be...
I mean, as a fan, yeah, at home, because, if you're a local fan, especially because,
right.
You want to go to the game and see your team as quickly as possible. On the other hand, having an away win to start the season, it just kind of looks good, it feels good.
You know? I feel for the bigger team, which is City in this case, it might be a bit less pressure than playing at the Etihad.
Yeah, that's also true.
So City came out, obviously this was the last game of the weekend, so they've already seen all the previous scores. And no surprises in this one. I mean, there's a lot of surprises prior to that, but in this one it was pretty smooth sailing. City in the first half, at least 70-75% possession. Just killed it. They played Silva was just unbelievable on the ball. Yaya looked like he was in the mood for it as well. I was impressed overall.
That is good news for City. If Yaya looks on the ball and Kompany looked good as well,
yes.
I mean, didn't have too much to do defensively, but scored a brilliant header, celebrated like a raging bull.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we've said this about City before, is that they're on and off, right? They have 1 year on, 1 year off.
Yeah.
This is the year that they're supposed to be on. And when they're on, Company, Torre, Silva, these guys all have massive years, and they're going to need to again if they're going to win the title.
And add to that Aguero, who started on the bench because of the Copa America and all that. Bonny started up front on his own. He had a decent game bringing people into play and all that. I mean, he would have wanted to have a more influential game, especially against such an easy opposition. I mean, turned out to be an easy opposition. He played well, assisted Toure for that second brilliant goal where he just put it top corner.
No backlift, no follow through. I mean, nothing. Just the guy's so powerful.
He is just pure power from Toure. The first one was, again, a Navas cutback. Toure was going for goal. Silva kind of tried to flick it in and then it eventually found its way.
Yeah, it bubbled.
It did bubble in. Sterling, obviously his first game for City, first competitive game. Not bad. Trying to impress, obviously.
He caused, his final ball wasn't brilliant. He missed a couple of decent chances, but he caused havoc. And he's playing in that left side with the front three kind of thing where he claimed he's always wanted to play. And Pulis was doing that thing where he had a centre-back at full-back with James Chester,
the new signing.
He loves to do that. Problem is, often centre-backs aren't that quick, and James Chester is not that quick, and Sterling was having him for breakfast.
That's true.
Even though it was a night game, but, you know.
Sterling does whatever Sterling wants to do.
James Chester is all-day breakfast.
Yes. Sterling didn't have a bad game. He did have that one miss, obviously, people are going to talk about. But, you know, we forget how young he is. He's very young. He's still going to get into it, but he's clearly not out of place, that's for sure.
No, absolutely. I mean, the problem is his age will get dismissed by the fact that he caused that whole big deal to move,
right.
The 50 million price tag. Like, at that point, once you're a 50 million player, does your age matter? Mm-hmm. It's hard, you know, it's debatable, but you're right.
Lambert played up front for West Brom with Berahino kind of off him, slashed to the left a little bit. To be honest, I'm ashamed to say this, but I was watching the game and then I didn't realize Lambert was on until he got subbed in like a 60-something minute.
Well, he did have that free kick. He got close with that free
kick.
But beyond that,
right.
I mean, he was dropping pretty deep. Mm-hmm. It wasn't...
Yeah. Berahino was trying. I mean, you could see he was the spark for West Brom. He got big, Barry, you know, like, I thought of him as this little, kind of Sterling type, small, but he got really big over the summer.
Yeah, he was wiry before, but remember when Bonnahor did it, but did it too much, and then he couldn't run?
Glenn Johnson's doing the same
thing.
So
Barry, you know, oh, that's different. Glenn Johnson's eating.
That's true. But Barry, you know, rumours are he might actually go to Spurs soon.
Well, so West Brom signed Rondon from Zenit St. Petersburg.
12 million.
12 million, finalised today, club record. Unbelievable. I mean, that's the kind of signing, again, we've had a few this summer, but that's the kind of signing that shows you the power that the Premier League has at this point. When West Brom are buying, you know, the best team in Russia's player, and he's giving up Champions League football.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't look too happy in the stands.
No, there was that clip of him, 3-0.
But with Rondon, Anichebe, Brownie Day, Berahino, and Lambert,
right,
one, if not two, are going to have to move on.
That's true.
And Spurs desperately need a striker. So, maybe...
So City right now sitting on top of the Premier League with the goal difference, the 3-goal difference there. Let's move on to another game, just randomly as well down the list. Arsenal-West Ham.
Ouch.
I think the surprise of the week might be surprise of the next coming weeks. I don't think we're going to see anything like it.
No, I mean, everything was set up here for a routine Arsenal win.
Especially after the preseason and the good performances, the Community Shield.
Everything. Beautiful preseason, convincing Community Shield performance, goals flying in left, right and centre, and West Ham having to play the opening rounds of the Europa League.
Which they
lost.
Yeah,
there and everywhere, which they lost. I mean, Bilic put out a reserve team, which now seems like a really good idea, because he put out his full team here, save for 16-year-old Reece Oxford, who was magnificent.
But the man of the match for West Ham, for me.
I mean, it's hard to know whether people are saying the performance was that brilliant because of his age, but I think you have to take that into account.
You have
to. Like, that's the performance of a 28-year-old accomplished defensive midfielder, so it was brilliant. But yeah, I mean, it was a surprise, given all the factors leading up to it. It was less of a surprise, given that you've seen Arsenal put that kind of performance
in. Right.
Four or five times a season for years.
But this was the year where people could see that this is the best squad Arsenal have had in years. And you don't... After the FA Cup wins 2 years in a row, kind of grinding that out, beating United at Old Trafford to get there, the Community Shield beating Chelsea for the first time in 13 attempts, Wenger, all that, Mourinho, it was hard to kind of see this coming. No one would have bet on West Ham getting anything out of this. Arsenal looked fluid prior to this game. They looked like they had tons of goals in them. Wenger, I don't know, he tinkered a bit. He started Giroud and Ramsey. Fine. I mean, that shouldn't you still don't lose to not West Ham because of that. Obviously, Czech with two big mistakes. Yeah. I mean, even Arsenal playing bad, they might have still ground out like a 1-0 had those
or
two mistakes not happened.
Yeah.
Right, or even a 0-0.
But they were two very, very bad and elementary goals. I mean, had those come from Chesney, A,
yeah.
you wouldn't be surprised, and B, you'd be calling for him to get out of the team.
Correct.
Obviously, it's week one, you know, players make mistakes, but they were two very, very bad mistakes.
Right. Sanchez came on last 15 minutes or so to go, also same Aguero thing, Copa America. And he had more shots on target than the whole Arsenal team had for 70 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even that he had more clear-cut opportunities than anyone else. It's just his, like, absolute determination to
go
shoot
forward,
and just get
yeah.
some, try and get something. I think tactically this game was somewhat interesting. West Ham, once they went 1-0 up, they went very defensive,
mm-hmm.
which you cannot blame them for at all. But they had, you know, 10 men behind the ball, made it very difficult, no space for Arsenal. And it worked. The thing is that West Ham fans didn't like Allardyce because he did that all the time.
yeah.
So I'm wondering if they'll be more patient when Bilic does it. But again, I'm not criticising for it. I mean, that's what he had to do.
The other tactical thing, which even Wenger pointed out, I mean, it's kind of just... It's not really... It's just less experience. It's like you can't concede at the end of a half and the beginning of a half like that, because that just shows that your concentration has dropped.
Especially to Zarate.
Yeah,
come
especially.
On.
He could barely kick a ball last season.
No.
Anyway, so that's what happened there. Biggest shock of the weekend. I mean, Wenger saying these weren't sharp, they weren't fit, or they weren't on their toes. Those are the quotes.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, next game's against Crystal Palace away. That's a tough one,
that's
too.
A,
it could,
very
could
tough
easily
game.
Start the season with two losses, and that's...
Or a loss and a draw.
Yeah,
I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Just, I know. You said, and you were right when you said that, like, he started with Giroud, started with Ramsey, tinkered with the formation a little bit, and it shouldn't mean that you lose 2-0.
Right.
But I think there was a fundamental change here in that the success that the end of last season and the preseason of this was based on was that Cazorla, Coquelin central midfield partnership.
Yeah.
The really good balance and
mm-hmm.
the distribution by Cazorla on both feet. He started this season with Ramsey in central midfield and Cazorla on the left. And I think we saw the season before last that Cazorla is wasted there.
Yeah.
He's got no pace. He doesn't really get into the box like Ramsey does when he plays in an advanced position. And then you miss the distribution that you would have had
Agreed. Had
Cazorla been further deep. So I think he needs to rebalance that.
Correct.
I know he really wants to get Ramsey into the team, but that's not the way to do it.
Also, the very last thing before we move on is that, I mean, Bellerin was out for an injury,
yeah.
but you could see the huge difference. I mean, poor Debushi, because Debushi is a great player, but it's all relative.
Yes.
When you have Bellerin there and you're expecting that pace, and with Debushi, he knows he can't beat his man, you get these aimless crosses in, which Giroud's not going to get. With Bellerin, he knows, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to try and go past, I'm going to cut it back, I'm going to kind of keep the play going, right?
Yeah.
Debushi just goes with the easy option.
If Bellerin is like a brand new motorbike, Debushi is one of the cars they still have left in Cuba. Like,
yeah,
like, he's decent
right
to look at, but
right.
like... It ain't going anywhere.
Anyways, that's what happened at the Emirates. Moving on, there was Newcastle-Southampton.
Mm.
That should have... I mean, I looked at that as a good matchup at the
yeah.
beginning of the season. And it was. It was fair. It was equal. 2-2 and score. To be fair, Southampton should have and could have nicked it at the end. They had much more pressure. They were kind of going for it. But obviously, that was from kind of the last season confidence. And, you know, Newcastle weren't coming off the best end of the season. So
yeah.
this was a good point for Newcastle.
Yeah, very good point for Newcastle. And, you know, they scored so few goals last season.
Mm-hmm.
It would take just scoring 2 goals in a game. And that feel-good Wijnaldum second goal. I mean,
right.
that was a classic Premier League goal. Just
yeah.
a blistering fast counter-attack. Dinked ball over the top. Obertan will never hit a cross like that again in his life. But what a header from Wijnaldum.
The thing with Newcastle is every time Cissé is on the field, they look to score.
Yeah.
It just seems that way. When he's playing, they score a goal. Like, it's that simple. It's literally that simple. You just keep him fit, you'll score goals.
He did score a funny goal, too.
He did, with his chest.
Kind of, yeah, just
yeah.
walked it in.
Yeah.
Basically, Stekelenburg was a little dodgy there, I felt.
A little bit, yeah. But it did take a bit of deflection on the cross. It was a bit lucky. But, yeah, so Pele scored as well. Long scored for Southampton. Both of them with headers. I still don't know how Long gets these headers. Like, he's like a Tim Cahill in that sort. He's just this
yeah.
tiny guy who has a great leap.
But without being the advantage of being a kangaroo.
right,
yeah,
yeah exactly. So, yeah, game ended 2-2. Cruel had a great game in
yes,
goal for Newcastle,
did.
Even though he conceded 2. But he saved a lot of Southampton attacks, which is why I say I think they could have nicked it at the end.
Yeah.
If you had to pick a team to take the 3 points, it would definitely have been Southampton. But it's a good start for McLaren.
Yeah.
Will Haldum, I can't say his name, save my life. Say it.
Wijnaldum.
There. Him,
I think.
He had a great game. Mark Mitrovic?
Mitrovic came on and immediately got booked, which is brilliant.
Hashtag Vidal.
Yes.
But
won't be the last time.
No, definitely not. Stoke Liverpool. Going away to Stoke is always hard, regardless.
Especially when you get smashed 6-1 a few months ago.
Exactly. That's what Brendan Rodgers was. The first thing he said was, this team has such mentality. I'm like, no one remembers, man.
Yeah.
Like, no one remembers. It was a tough game. Stoke, you could see this change in style, though. They were trying to play the ball. They had Afellay on the left.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the formation was, I think it was like a 4-4-2, Afellay on the left, Shaqiri on in the stands. it was a pretty good play, to be honest,
Yeah. In a massive hat.
Yeah.
Or maybe maybe the head is just massive.
He wears them all. Relative to his body, everything looks huge.
I think he should play in a hat.
Yeah. Or as a keeper, that would be funny.
That would be excellent.
Obviously, we get to the goal was Brendan Rodgers started with Milner and Henderson as the two hold, kind of a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
And then he saw that wasn't kind of working very well, and he brought on Emery Chan, which I thought changed the game.
Yeah.
Chan coming on more of a 4-3-3. He was the holding, and he kind of let Henderson have a bit more of freedom, and that really opened up more space for the likes of Coutinho, for example.
If you want to get football hipster about it, you'd say he inverted the pyramid.
Yes.
Yeah. But it does make sense, because if you think about it, Milner and Henderson both suffer a bit from Gerrarditis in that they want to bomb forward. They're not holding midfielders naturally.
Right.
I mean, Milner will do it because he'll do anything you tell him to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not his ideal role. So when you put Chan behind them, give them that bit of insurance and just let them bomb on.
Right.
That works for now. The problem is, what do you do then when Firmino's back in the side and you need to play
mm-hmm.
with a number 10? And,
so Firmino came on last kind of 15 minutes or so. Another Copa America thing. There wasn't much to say yet. Next game is when you really judge him. I'm thinking he'll start. I mean, it's
not sure. He scored a hat-trick in the reserves.
Right, so,
yeah.
On form, right?
Yeah.
But then the highlight of the game was obviously, I think a minute before he was about to be subbed off, Coutinho kind of takes the ball, spins Sidwell, who just came on for Adam. I don't think that was a good move.
Apparently not.
Because
Adam would have just kicked him over.
Clearly. He was like, this is not happening. Coutinho spun around and just... One of those... I think three of the last four Coutinho goals are like outside the box. He just loves them. He really perfected them. And it was just a brilliant 1-0 win.
It was a stunning hit. Stunning hit. Anyway. Yeah, I would suggest that Liverpool maybe just about deserved it.
Yeah.
Mark Hughes did feel hard done by. He wasn't happy.
A draw might have been okay, but Liverpool did just enough, I guess, to get the 3 points. Klein played well for his first game.
Gomez,
decent. Yeah, decent. Yeah. I mean, it's only his like 25th appearance. So
yeah, he's about 9.
Yeah. Yeah. Next is United Spurs, the first one we woke up for on the Saturday morning, which was possibly the worst game.
Do you regret waking up that early?
I did, because it was the worst game, I think, out of the 10. No shots on target until the 70th minute, and nothing happened. Kyle Walker was having a great game.
It was unbelievable. I mean, Spurs had a brilliant first 20 minutes, pressing, getting the ball back.
Usual Spurs, though.
Yeah, even Eric Dier looked good in defensive midfield. You know, it was all going very well. Chadley looked competent. All sorts of things were happening. Dembele was not terrible.
Dier looked good at defensive mid.
That's what I just said.
Oh, sorry. I blanked out that for a second.
Yeah.
Who else was playing? Bentaleb.
Parrot.
Bentaleb had a great game until the straight pass. Like, everything was going fine.
Yeah. And then, you're right, Bentaleb with the straight pass, which I will say my dad forewarned. He's noticed that Bentaleb does this.
Right.
So shout out Stephen Nathan.
Representing.
Yes. And so Bentaleb did it. United were in with a 2-on-1. Crossed the ball in.
Rooney didn't do too well, to be honest. I thought Rooney kind of... One, he didn't need to take a touch. And if he did, technically Walker got the ball off him.
Yeah.
So Rooney did pretty bad in a pretty open goal situation.
I agree.
He wasn't like kind of... He's still rusty, kind of not in that goal scoring mood yet. And I was like, oh, here, that's it. I was like, you could see kind of the pace of Walker come up as Rooney stopped the ball. You're like, you know what? I'm calculating that Walker's going to get there.
Yes.
And he did. I'm like, great.
I think He must have been so excited to get there on time that he didn't really think about where he was kicking it.
Good defensive play.
Yeah, he's like, I'm back. I'm back in form. I can see the headlines. Like, what a gift this is going to be.
Right.
And then, oh dear.
I mean, to be fair, he did one-up it. Instead of doing a defensive move, he scored a goal. Technically, he did. Yeah, he did better than expected.
But then it all collapsed.
Yeah.
It all collapsed. Tottenham, and then, from that moment on, I mean, I would say their standout performer from there was Alderweireld, maybe.
Oh, he had a good game overall. He's good on the ball, technically.
Very. Yeah. I mean, there was a time, towards the end of the game, where he dribbled past about three players
and crossed it in. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Far better than Lamela, Dembele.
Lamela was horrible. Oh, man. Yeah. Anyways.
They just collapsed. From that moment on, Tottenham...
It was key ball by United, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, Schweinsteiger came on. Him and Carrick just passed the ball around a bit, and then Herrera came on, passed the ball around a bit too. Like, nothing happened.
It was pretty funny with Schweinsteiger, because he'd get the ball, he'd pass it to someone else, he'd point to where he wanted it back, he'd point to where he wanted them to go.
Yeah.
It was.
He might as well have a PlayStation controller on it. Like, why even be on the field?
It was a bit like, I think I told you this earlier, it was a bit like Pirlo's debut in MLS. Like, just standing in the centre circle, spinning around,
going,
and passing.
He can pass a ball. Like, that's the kind of thing United fans are, like, craving over. Anyways.
It really was.
A couple of things before we move on. Darmian had a great game at right back.
Yes, he did.
Smalling, man of the match performance at centre back. He's always had that in him. Just be consistent about it.
I think Bernie said he's grown into a man.
Yeah, that's only one game though.
Yeah.
Until the next red card.
It's a bit of a paternal kind of review, I think. But
right.
Yeah, he does look good.
He does.
Yeah.
All right. Bournemouth Villa. I mean, I would pick this to be the worst game of the week, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair.
And to be fair, not much happened. Guzan, a couple of great saves. He had a good game. Villa winning that one 1-0. You know what? As Villa, you take 3 points any way they come.
Anyway. They celebrated like a team fighting relegation.
Sherwood was like, I'm like, is this the first week? You know, he was like, yes, we made it.
Yeah.
Gusted scored.
Great header.
Mm-hmm. We were looking at the stat, which we forgot to follow up on, which is Gusted has the most headers. Now, there's a couple of options here. Either last season in the all competition or ever.
I think it's per capita.
It's per capita.
Yeah, Gusted. Gusteda.
Yeah, Gusteda.
But yeah, it was a good header. When I was watching it, the co-commentator, and I don't know who this is, but he went a bit bonkers. Like, he took it a bit. I don't know what happened, but he was like, oh, it's bloody good to see. Oh, he didn't swear.
Right.
But he's like, it was so good to see an old-fashioned bullet header. Like, you don't get many of them anymore. Just like old-fashioned.
He was reminiscing it.
And
he was like,
so nostalgic.
I'm done with the silver sterling tippy-tappy stuff.
You could see there was a video playing in his head of like Shearer. And,
yeah,
like,
sharing him with
Andy Carroll the one time he did it successfully.
Yeah, but that's really all we have about that game. Yep. Nothing much happened. Villa, great 3 points. That's what's important, to be honest. Just get those 3 points on the.
I will say, I did like the feel and the atmosphere of that 11,000 sort of vitality stadium.
It's going to be fun to watch your team play away there. It is quite a sight. Everton Watford, another one of the promoted teams, had a great game, to be honest. I mean, for the first game in the Premier League, 2-2 against Everton. Everton away is always hard. Although they are a bit more shaky now than they were a couple of seasons back. Barkley and Kone scoring for Everton. Barkley, all game, just shooting. Every time he can. Just shoot. Gomez in goal, Aurelio.
Lovely to see him back.
I'm telling you, I was watching the game with my mom, and she saw him. She's like, isn't that keeper that cries all the time? I was like, yeah, that's him. Good job, mom.
That's brilliant.
But yeah, he had a couple of good saves from Barkley, who was kind of just setting his sights. And then eventually one of them, boom.
See, I think this is a brilliant idea from Martinez. If it really was Martinez. Could have just been Barkley being rogue. You know,
right.
Another one with Gerarditis.
Mm-hmm.
But he shoots better than he passes. He often loses
Correct.
The ball when he passes. So don't pass. Just
shoot.
Have a crack.
Yeah.
Great.
But I like that.
Yeah.
You do a great coach.
Thanks.
I'm
a dig.
Yeah. Kone's finish was brilliant.
It was.
Lukaku's... that kind of layoff to him was unbelievable. These are the things I live for. Just that Lukaku touch. It was the simplest of passes, but it was just the right amount. So Kone was just as if he was dribbling with
the
ball.
It was physics.
It was unbelievable. It was physics. And it really did it for me.
Yeah. I think Kone's not a terrible player.
Right.
But it really does help when you set him up perfectly. Because
yes.
He has a tendency to miss.
Igalo scored the second to put Watford 2-1 up. I think Watford were up twice, to be honest.
Yeah.
Igalo did great for that goal. He kind of dinked two guys and then put it bottom right. past Howard. Pretty good goal.
Pretty good goal, pretty bad defending, though.
Yeah.
I mean, to let him just kind of twist and turn on the edge of the area and then get a shot away when you've got two centre-backs there.
Correct.
Not brilliant. And if Everton lose John Stones at this point,
yeah,
you really have to worry for them.
30 million is 30 million, man.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Make
so
it
rain. Yeah. So Watford get, a good point away to Everton as a newly promoted side. Leicester playing Sunderland. I mean, this wasn't going to be a bad game. It was either going to be like a... Okay, to be honest, let me rephrase it. It was either going to be horrible or it was going to be like 6-6.
Yes.
And it turned out to be one of those.
Well, Sunderland scoring 6 goals, I'm not sure we'll see that in our lifetime.
Right.
The days of Quinn and Phillips are gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it will ever happen again. But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Like, it's either going to be really boring or a total shambles.
Because no one's defending. No one's doing much. Yeah.
Well, listen. If your top centre-back recruit in the summer is Younes Kabul, and you pair him with Sebastian Coates and or John O'Shea, you're asking for it.
I don't know how you could go through a whole season as a fan watching those two as your centre backs. It's gonna hurt.
It'll be a slaughter.
Kabul gave away the ball twice for the same goal. He literally gave it to Leicester twice.
I just don't understand. Well, I mean, Sunderland have long bought like Tottenham players that Tottenham no longer want.
Right.
But this was next level.
But centre back is like important.
It's crucial, and he's going to be the guy. I mean, it's bizarre to me.
It's lovely how it's 4-2 to Leicester. We're talking about how bad Sunderland are. To be honest, for Leicester, they started off strong. I think it was like 3-0 at one point for Leicester.
Yes.
And Vardy is so fast
and
good with the ball too. Like, it's not fast like a Lennon where, you know, he runs it out the field.
Yeah.
He is close control. He runs with it really well. At one point, which wasn't even one of the goals, he just spun past like three players and dinked the keeper and just missed. He got his first England call-up in the summer too. I mean, he's slowly kind of getting there. Mahrez, though, he's ended last season really well. I remember the game at the Emirates where he had an absolutely brilliant performance. And he had two goals. For the penalty, he basically retired Lee Cattermole.
Cattermole was at his head in his hands,
yeah,
on his knees,
yeah,
just didn't know what to do.
No one even like argued. People were like, yeah, let's get it over with, it's a penalty, okay.
Yeah, Cattermole was just basically sitting there like,
Yep, so Mahrez with two goals, Albrighton with the other. I've always liked Albrighton.
He's a good
player from his Villa days.
It was a real surprise to me when Villa let him, like, didn't renew his contract and let him go for free.
Yeah.
What I would say about Sunderland is that they will be having nightmares about this.
Nice.
Yeah.
Defoe and Fletcher scoring for Sunderland, who I don't think anyone else will ever score for them. So
no,
it's always those
I'm trying
two
to think. Well, Seb Larson from the occasional free kick.
Adam Johnson if he's available once in a while.
I don't think he'll be available. I don't know.
You know.
He shouldn't be available.
All right. But he played. So, what's happening there? Is there anything happening?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Dunno. We'll have to follow up with legal.
Right.
Yeah.
Follow up with the legal department.
Yeah.
HR. All right. So, that's Leicester. Unbelievable 3 points. Yes, tell us.
Yeah. Claudio Ranieri talking about Kasabian and Warriors.
I love
and,
Rock.
And yes, he's just so much value.
We thought he would do bad, but I mean, I'm hoping he does well.
Okay, listen, he started off with 3-4-1-2 as well, which I very much enjoyed. I'm not going to say he's going to do well. I still think this is a slightly dodgy appointment, but I really hope he does.
I think he'll stay up.
Lovely,
I think Leicester have enough
man
good players to stay up.
I
would
agree.
I mean, you have, like,
there are three worst teams.
You have a Joe on Olio or whatever you say on the bench. Like, that's not bad either. Like, he's got a good enough squad to stay up, and with his flair players, I think they can do it. Next, Norwich Crystal Palace. I am really excited to see Crystal Palace this year. They have pacey wingers. Great kind of forward guy. What's his name? I like him. I don't remember his name.
Who?
He plays up front for Crystal Palace. I'm putting you on the spot here, but he's
I'm not sure who
he finished off last season really well.
Oh, Murray?
Yeah, Murray. I think he just finishes off all the little tricky stuff that the wingers do. Zaha and Punchin started, what's his name, on the bench, which people thought would happen.
Palacio.
Yeah, Palacio on the bench.
Yeah.
Zaha had a great game, a goal. He played really well.
He was brilliant. He gave Norwich a torrid time down the wings. And honestly, not many teams play with two out and out wingers these days. I mean, Punchin can cut in and be more creative, but when you have to worry about two of them, it really gives you trouble because your wide players
you're
have to come back.
Yeah.
And it, then you leave the center open because you're doubling up on the wingers. I mean, it's just, it's nice to see.
And in the center, I mean, you leave it open. You've got Kabay running around, which is not a bad person to have in there.
Exactly.
He scored the third goal in the 3-1. Nice finish, nice run kind of past the back line, which is something he should do more often.
So
I'm excited to see him as well this year, see how he gets on.
And he was also good defensively. I mean, you think about Kabay, you think of his playmaking and the good passes, but he's a battler too.
Yeah, no, I agree. And as long as he kind of stays motivated, you get the best out of him. Before we move on, there's a couple of decisions that didn't go Norwich's way.
Yeah.
At 2-1 to Crystal Palace, Cameron Jerome scored a goal that was disallowed for a high foot. Okay, this is one for like the books versus reality.
Yeah.
I think it sort of stood.
It looked like a ridiculous
The guy
decision.
Wasn't close enough. Jerome had to. I mean, what is he going to do? Not go for it?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know.
With a goal scoring opportunity?
Yeah.
I mean, literally had no other choice but to do what
and
he did.
It was a great finish, to be honest.
It was a brilliant finish.
Yeah.
I mean, Cameron Jerome is one of those players who, when he does really well in the Championship and he gets to the Premier League level, and it always just flummoxes him completely.
Right.
But he looked good.
Yeah, he looked good.
And that was a good goal, and it really should have stood. And at 2-2, who knows what happens?
No one.
Redmond did well to get Norwich back into it, and then. At 2-2, with not too long
keeper
left.
Suspect there a little bit.
Yes,
a little bit.
Granted.
About that point, the refereeing, I mean, it was a new referee. It was his debut as well. So Norwich debut, referee debut, didn't really go well with each other.
Who had a worse debut, him or Petr Cech?
No one had a worse debut than Petr Cech ever in the history of debut. Except Evra.
Woodgate,
Evra.
Yeah.
Evra against City was, I'm on the floor laughing.
That's hard to be.
last game. A slight surprise as well. Chelsea 2-2 to Swansea at home at Stamford Bridge. Mourinho does not drop points at home.
No.
But you could kind of see it. Chelsea's preseason wasn't very good. The Community Shield wasn't good either. The game started off with Chelsea just having the ball, not doing much with it. And then they did score through... Who scored? Oscar from a free kick. It was kind of lucky as well. Nothing planned.
Sure.
1-0 Chelsea. We're like, okay, here it is. There's going to shut shop. Ayew on his debut.
That was a really good goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will be underrated as goals go this season. Just because when you're in the penalty area, you're on, you know, he was on his backside.
Yeah.
He was on the floor. And with people coming in to close down the space, little drag back and a good finish.
The fact that he took the drag back is great because he could have just toe-poked it.
A lot of people would have just panicked and tried to kick it towards the goal.
Exactly.
He was very aware.
Courtois' save from Gomis' header right before was... I saw the header go off Gomis' head and I was like, goal, 100%, like done.
Yeah.
And then unbelievable save. For such a tall guy to go down so fast with his hand, it was really good to see. And then after that, like literally 2 minutes later, Willian with another deflected shot. None of Chelsea goals were really like kind of played or deserved. It was,
it wasn't a fun
no,
goal.
No, Fabianski just kind of, he couldn't help it. It was looped over him.
Just one of those.
Yeah, then the highlight of the game, Courtois getting a red card from fouling Gomis, who made a great run.
Which Chelsea have appealed.
Have they? It's one game. Let it go.
And you just bought an £8 million Begovic.
Who played great for the last 20 minutes
exactly.
or so.
Like,
he actually played well.
Leave it alone, man. Anyway.
Anyways, after that, Gomis put the penalty away, 2-2. I think it was a good point for Gary Monk, who I'm starting to really, really like.
Oh, mate. Yeah. I mean, I was very impressed with him last season. I think they're going to continue. They've recruited so cleverly. They haven't done much business, but they've done enough that if you look at the front three of like a Gomis, Ayew, and Montero.
Oh, Montero. Montero killed
Ivanovic.
Montero
kills every fullback he comes up against.
Yeah.
Ayew is going to get 10 goals. If Gomis continues like he ended last season and started this one, you've got a striker who should get 10 to 15. I mean, he's not going to be too prolific.
No.
But he should get 10 to 15. If you look at that and then you look at maybe like the front three of a Spurs or a Stoke.
It's not.
It's
comparable.
It's comparable. So I could see Swansea pushing for that sixth or seventh spot.
Gomis, end of last season when they sold Boney and didn't replace him, he stepped up brilliantly. You literally just have to float balls into the box. He wins every
He does.
He beat Arsenal like that last season at the Emirates. He just drew with Chelsea. Like these are big teams he's doing this against. Big defenders. It's Terry, Kale, Ivanovic. This is not a joke.
Exactly.
And, you know, Koscielny, Mertesacker. He does this every time. He gets every floating ball. Just don't cross. Kind of just float it in. He'll get it every time.
Yeah. And
brilliant.
That's not overlooked. They got him on a free.
Yeah. Yeah. Costa could have had a penalty. I think the defender just nicked the ball. It kind of looked like it changed direction a little bit, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have blamed the referee for giving that.
I mean, I think Costa is okay with it. He's in Ibiza, just kind of partying it up, so.
Yeah, with his grandkids, right?
Yeah. All right, so that was a great weekend. I'm looking forward to another 37 of them.
Yes.
Just can't wait.
Although right now, I need a little break, so let's do Moomoo of the Week.
Brilliant.
Moomoo of the Week.
Two Moomoos this week. The first one is a perennial Moomoo. If he wasn't a Moomoo, he'd have been playing for Arsenal by the time he was 21. We are talking about the one and only Yann Mbila, who, you know, French international at about age 20 or something, defensive midfielder that was going to be the new Vieira type, you know, enforcer.
Yep.
And he ended up playing at Rubin Kazan, which no one wants
to do. It's
such
a shame.
No,
yeah.
Like, no one wants to do that.
No.
Apart from people called Rubin.
That's also, he's also a Moomoo for that.
Yes. Yeah. Shouldn't take that move. Fire his agent. Anyway, this week he has outdone himself because he signed for Sunderland. I think it's a year's loan with an option to buy. Mm. Hasn't played a game for them yet, a first team game, but he started a reserve game and he headbutted.
No. It wasn't just the reserve game, it was an under 21 game.
Under 21 game.
So these kids are all like 20.
Headbutted Jamal Loza of Norwich. Somehow, I mean, he's not banned for the first team. He's still available to start in the next game. But at some point, you just have to look at a person and say, you just don't learn.
No.
There's just something in you.
This is why people don't sign you.
Yeah.
Not because of your ability, but because there's no point of never having you available because you're going to get a red card every couple of games.
Exactly. But you know what he did? And this, to be fair, this is pretty clever. He looked across Europe. He looked at all the signings that were happening. He saw Sunderland. He saw them sign Younes Kabul, and he picked them out and he said, I've got a chance with that lot.
Yes, he can play centre-back if anything.
He probably called them.
Yes. Alright, perfect. Thanks for that. I've got another one. Just when I thought I wouldn't have to talk about the Arsenal score anymore, here's another one. So, as we recapped, West Ham beat Arsenal 2-0 at the Emirates, so this West Ham fan, due to some bet with his buddies, got the score tattooed on, where exactly was it? Like his lower back?
No, it was on his bum.
It was on his bum.
Yeah, on the cheek.
All right, on the Loftus cheek. he got the score, so West Ham, Arsenal 0-2. Arsenal got the whole goal scores, Emirates Stadium, locations. It was really well done, to be honest, quality-wise. But you're going to live with that for the rest of your life. I mean, to be honest, West Ham haven't beaten Arsenal in decades.
Yeah.
So,
and they always score first too.
Yeah.
But they tend to end up losing. So they always have that hope. But what I hope is that he follows this through and gets the result of every league game. Just go, you know, from the bum down the leg.
That would like a stalking score.
Yes.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah. So, you know.
All right. So we'll tell you what he does next week.
Things to look out for. Alright, now to the news from Italy, or as I said in the intro, more accurately, China, where the Italian Super Cup was played. Juventus against Lazio.
Napoli or Lazio?
Lazio.
Right, yeah. Sorry. I wrote Napoli down, that's why.
Oh.
Right.
Well, don't do that.
No, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sort it out. Or you'll be in the reserves.
Yes, had money people. Yeah.
But yeah, Juve 2-0 win, their two new strikers scoring.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good win for Juve, not because of the importance of the cup or anything like that, but because people were starting to think, are Juve going to be the same? They've lost big names, to be fair. I mean, sure, replacements or not, when you lose a Pirlo, a Tevez, and a Vidal, those are three huge names to lose in a squad.
And people get worried because, you know, you see Khedira comes in, great, but he's out for 2 months.
Exactly. But two people who came in both scored. Dybala scored, Mandzukic with a header, obviously. You put it in, Mandzukic will score it. And Pogba with the number 10 running around, he had a great game.
He did.
And Juve fans love to see that.
Yes.
Because there was a lot of rumors with whether, I mean, it was either him or Vidal leaving. I think Juve got obviously the better deal by keeping Pogba, at least for another year.
Absolutely.
That number 10 change, though, that spells a bit of commitment, doesn't it? You don't do that for a season, do you?
Maybe.
I mean, that's a big... That's,
I mean, a lot of people have been 10. Arsenal captain for a season.
Yeah, but that's not their fault. We just give them the wrong... We give the wrong people captaincy.
It's true.
But he asked for the number 10. He said, I want it. So, anyways, Pogba's cross in, Dybala goal, Mandzukic. I mean, Juve should win the league this year. Should. Inter made a lot of signings, Milan, but not, you know, not gelled, not convincing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Inter and AC Milan do with their new signings. And Roma, I mean, Roma just signed Dzeko. They've got a front three of Salah, Dzeko, and Iturbe at this point, which is quite exciting. So it'll be interesting. Roma should be stronger, but yeah, I would still keep Juventus as favourites.
Speaking of signings, we've kind of made a signing slash been signed, Alex?
Yeah, it's more of a partnership, a kind of joint ownership kind of thing.
Okay.
Although that makes it sound too official. But delighted to announce that we will be partnering up with ItalianFootballDaily.com. At Italian Football Daily on Twitter, which is a brilliant Italian football website, as you might have gathered from...
Tell me what they talk about.
But some brilliant articles up on there, really comprehensive coverage. So we might have them as guests on the podcast this year. We might exchange some articles here and there.
I'm really looking forward to read the stuff on the website, because I will be honest, the Serie A isn't kind of like the top of my go-to list in terms of, like, I don't know the nitty-gritty like I do with, let's say, the Premier League or La Liga to an extent. So I'm quite excited to actually just, I think, reading up on there, like whatever articles come out will just kind of fill me in, and that will do.
Absolutely. Good. So that's ItalianFootballDaily.com.
Perfect. Now more local, from China all the way to North America. We went to a TFC game on Wednesday.
Yes, well, actually, this is also still about an Italian.
Yes, it's true. It was all about the little Giovinco.
Yes.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, that was wicked. We went to TFC, sat in the new stand. The view from there is epic.
Oh, man, because you can see above the old stand.
Yes, the water is out there. And yeah, anyway, very nice.
CN Tower on one end. It was brilliant. I had a lot of fun, to be honest. You know, it takes a bit to win me over with the MLS.
Yeah.
But I'm getting there. I'm slowly getting there.
Yeah, you just kind of have to ignore
fresh
food and the competitions to win
and some
vacuums
of the, some,
and stuff.
Some of the comments you hear from other people in the stands are a bit...
Okay, so, alright, TFC were playing Orlando. Yeah. Orlando were without Kaká, who was injured, I believe. And there were a couple of people that sat behind us that came into the game 25 minutes late, which is a crime, but whatever. They spent the first 15 minutes that they were there up to halftime discussing where Kaká was playing and like how badly he was playing. And, like,
he was anonymous.
He was not on the pitch. Half of me wanted to turn around and say something, but the other half of me was enjoying it too much.
Alex, he just kept looking at me every time, and I was just having way too much fun. He's like, things like, Kaká, you can't tell he's on the field. Like, really? Anyways, Giovinco, unbelievable performance. On TV, you see the highlights and you see how easy it is for him and how well he plays, but you don't really kind of grasp it until you see it in real life. He just, because you look at him when the play is elsewhere, and he just stands there. The minute someone gets the ball, Giroud had a great game pinging balls around. He just asks for it. He's like, bro, just give it to me.
Yep.
And he just goes at the right back, and he gets past them every single time. The last goal with his left was unbelievable.
Well, Orlando had this big lumbering centre back who, you know, he was just an old bruiser kind of style, and Giovinco just had him. Like, there was nothing he could do. Giovinco was far too agile. So for the first goal, he gets it, picks it up on the left, skips past him, kicks the ball out of play, but the guy still makes a challenge and penalty, goal. The second one, I think, was the free kick.
Giovinco, off the
beautiful
post.
Curling free kick off the post. And then
last one was when he kind of took it past with his right foot and left foot into the side netting.
Ran half the length of the field to score that. He was just on such a different level that it was like an adult playing against kids.
Yeah,
it really was.
Correct. It was like in VR at an under 21 game. Contrasting, moving on to Saturday, they didn't play bad, to be honest, but they did lose 3-1 to Kansas at home, cutting their winning streak, I think, to 6.
Not bad,
that's great. Kansas got a penalty. Phil Halber put it in. Okay, 1-0. Bradley came back with a brilliant goal from a Giovinco assist.
There was a lot. I mean, it was straight from the kickoff.
Yeah.
Instant reply. And it kind of reminded me of that Vieira goal for Arsenal. When Bergkamp played it through to him and Vieira just dinked it over the keeper.
Yeah.
It was a bit like that. 1-2 between Bradley and Giovinco was exquisite, and the finish was even better. So that's 1-1.
Agreed. That's 1-1. And then, like, 5 minutes later, midway through the first half, a looping header. It was just bad positioning by the keeper. I mean, he came out thinking he's going to get it from the corner kick. He doesn't. Come back to your line. Don't just stand there and watch. You're not a spectator.
Yeah.
And then, that just looped over him. It looked pretty bad. That was a bad goal to concede.
Yeah.
Put him in a 2-1. They pressed. TFC pressed as much as they could. Altidor had a horrendous miss in the 80th minute.
That was Sunderland Altidore coming back for a second there. I mean, Giovinco did so well. Chipped the ball. stood it up at the back post, and all Altidore needed to do was head it straight. Really. Yeah. That's it. I mean, it would have been a goal. Heads it wide. And that was with, what, I think 10 minutes left or so.
And then Peterson makes it 3-1 for Kansas. It was kind of, obviously, as a result of the pressure that TFC were putting, they didn't have much at the back, and there was, you know...
I mean, they don't have much at the back on a good day.
To be fair, on Wednesday, we saw Ahmed, their new...
Kantari.
Kantari, yeah. He had a good game compared to Perkis, who was just unbelievably bad.
Yes.
Yeah. Correct. And Jackson at right back was horrible.
That
he was like the highlight of the game, to be honest, after Jovinko, just us enjoying how bad he was.
I'm surprised his teammates still give him the ball. Because yes! Every time he gets it, he puts a bad cross in. I mean, it's just... Anyway, whatever. Okay.
So, yeah, that was... I feel like the Premier League is back. It just gives you a bit of energy. Like,
yeah, man.
It's not like off-season anymore. Where it's like talking about transfers and rumours.
No,
this is like solid
stuff. The skies are brighter. The birds aren't annoying. You know, it's,
right.
It's great.
Awesome. So, looking forward to next week.
Yeah.
All right, see you then.
Ciao.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh, and for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.